Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The 1 to 2 hour is brought to you by the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Room at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's radio today, everybody. Now, it's not a Friday show. Because if you know something, Wild Thing is our Friday theme, to get loose. It's time to get going for the weekend. However, you also know that it is $1,000 Give and Go season. And so as the $1,000 Give and Goes goes, that means you got to stick with a song that's with a code word. And so it's only appropriate. Wild. That's our word. Could have gone with the Trogs, Wild Thing, but this is fine.
Well, this is more appropriate to our show.
I mean, yes, it is. But I'm saying if we wanted to branch out and be spicy.
Yeah, I could have gone with the Rick Vaughn one.
Could have. We could have.
Or Born to be Wild, but.
True. Well done by you, Robbie. Wild. W-I-L-D, wild is your code word. Your $1,000 give and go is brought to you by Anna Jar and Levine, Accident Attorneys. If you don't win this time, you'll have another chance at the top of next hour. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive.
That would have been an easy one for you guys to guess.
Got a couple of tardy beavers in this show today. Wow. couple of stragglers. What are you guys doing?
He was yelling in the hallway.
About what?
About what? I have no idea. And I just
What's your
up.
Excuse, APD?
No excuse. Just I noticed it was
12:59. I got Ron Elkman.
Oh, no.
That could be a situation.
Excused.
That's totally an excusable absence.
Excused. All right, we're going to have a fun show today. Boy, that Adam Gase did himself for 24 hours.
Are we going to do the thing like every other sports show in the country and just play Eye songs? Betty Davis Eyes, Brown Eyed Girl.
Well, first of all, I was the first sports show in America to do that today because I don't think many other sports shows start at 5:30, and I started today's show with Eye songs. So my idea, the rest of you can eat it. Second of all, I got something up way better for that. You just sit your pretty little head down and you wait for it.
I was going to come in. I was motivated. I was going to actually come in early this morning.
No, you weren't.
And do a parody.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure you were.
I was.
Leave it to me.
No, but
leave it to me.
What was the last time we did a parody?
I can't get involved every once in a while.
All right, you can get involved. Why don't you write one during the show today and then record it?
Isn't it too late at that point?
No. Well, it took me 15 minutes.
No, but like it'll be for tomorrow.
Fine.
Okay.
Make it good, though.
Oh, it'll be good.
Don't screw it up.
We'll screw it up.
Speaking of Adam Gase, we'll talk to a former reporter who covered him, Adam Beasley. So that'll be fun.
He is sans pants.
He is excited. Beasley broke the Brian Flores story, basically. Now, it technically isn't broken yet because this stupid rule is the Patriots are continuing, so the Dolphins can't, you know, announce him as their coach, but they've already basically said that, well, they haven't said, but reports have said that Jim Caldwell is going to be the assistant head coach, which is cool. I like that. Jim Caldwell is a good coach. I think so. He's a little bit bland, so everybody kind of just brushes him aside. Oh, Caldwell. But I like Jim Caldwell. I think that's a good hire to have with Brian Flores, have somebody with a little experience, good with quarterbacks. I do wonder, though, see, like this whole thing came out this weekend with Adam Schefter saying Dolphins are going to tank, blow this thing up.
I don't like
However,
I love it.
You don't like it as a player?
Here. I'm going to say this one time, okay?
But you'll probably say it again, so.
Yeah, because people like you don't understand.
Correct.
Okay, when you teach players how to lose and you let them believe that losing is acceptable, it'll take you longer to get a winning culture in your building.
But, like, isn't there a point where you without trying to lose, you just lose because you're not good?
That's different than saying we're going to tank.
Okay, so...
You don't want... Fans, coaches, people whose jobs depend on it don't want an athlete going on the field, and saying, it doesn't matter, we're tanking.
All right, so what if I present this to you, this scenario? So, like, Stephen Ross, Flores, like...
no way any person
Chris
in
Greer,
that building...
Like, those three people know, hey, we're going to tank. But everyone else is under the assumption, we're trying to win, including the players.
It's not really much you got to tank, though. Like, all you got to do in today's day and age is put Brock Osweiler quarterback.
Or Bortles.
Here's what I'm saying.
No, David Fales.
Here's what ownership may consider tanking. And here's what fans may consider tanking, okay? Say if somebody like Flacco is available for $15 to $20 million for 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
The going rate for a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, alleged.
Okay. And you have Brock Osweiler.
Yep.
For $6 million. You say, we're not going to spend the $15 to $20 million on Flacco. We're just going to roll with Brock Osweiler. Okay? But we're going to try to devise a plan to make Brock Osweiler successful.
I know. I can.
Now, that is what ownership may consider tanking. But if Brock Osweiler has success and is a successful quarterback and the team does well, he's not going to say, damn, I wish he would have sucked.
He's not.
A lot of people got mad at Matt Moore. Okay. Like, Matt Moore came in the season that people wanted to suck for Luck.
He started 0-7.
Started 0-7. He came in, screwed it up. Now, that's what Matt Moore does. He does things with no preparation and ruins things.
Well, wait a minute, man. I can't comprehend.
I think it's
I was 3-13 my rookie year.
Uh-huh.
Trying every game.
Sure, yeah, you lived it.
I lived it.
Right.
But under no circumstances in that building did anybody say,
of course not.
At least we'll get a good draft.
Nobody's expecting the competitors to go out there
So let me get this straight.
Right.
If they go out and they have success, you're going to be pissed off.
So it's like this. Ever see the movie? Wait. You ever see the movie Major League?
Yep.
Yes.
Classic.
Okay. Classic movie, right?
I can't believe that my life's work is going to be compared to Major League.
Sports movie, though. You were sports.
It's a sports movie.
Sports,
yeah. No,
sports.
So what happened is they wanted to be bad, right? But they didn't tell the players that.
Owner.
Stop.
Because they wanted to move.
Yeah. Right, they wanted to move. Wanted to be
Rachel
bad.
Dratch,
right.
She was a real, you know.
But not the not the manager.
Right, listen. But no one was in on that. They just happened to pick all these players that weren't that good. Yeah. Bunch of has-beens, bunch of never-will-bes, Willie Mays Hayes,
yeah.
Rick Vaughn
yep.
from the Penal League.
Yep.
Jake Taylor was down in Mexico.
Yep.
And just by happenstance, now, you put a bunch of bad people on the field. They were good, though. They won the division.
You mean, you know, sports.
They ripped off a piece of clothing for every win.
This is like this just happened with the Heat.
Right. So
like, we thought this was going to go to Tankville, right. And Deion Waiters right. carried them to
so
a,
I'm just
a
saying,
tiebreaker.
What I'm
the
just
playoffs.
Saying is, with the Dolphins, like they could just put people on the field that aren't expected to be good, and then, you know, maybe they're just not good.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com station.
Heat are back in action tonight at the Bucks.
Hot dog.
Looking to see the Greek freak tonight. Milwaukee's an 8.5-point favorite.
Greek meek.
Greek week.
The Heat are a lock tonight. I'd even take a flyer on the money line.
8.5?
They own the Bucks.
You know how you say daddy in Greek?
The
how? Adebayo.
Minus one right now.
Are you serious?
Minus one, Robbie.
Minus one.
Thank you.
What in your brain thought that was you thought made you think that was going to be comical?
I've watched the games. Did you watch the games?
Robbie, the money line, the Heat are +325.
Oh, I'm all over that. I'm totally taking a flyer on that.
I can't wait till our text later. Anywho, so that's going on. You can hear the pregame at 7 right here on the ticket.
I think they've won 7 out of the last 8 or something like that against the Bucks. They beat them all 3 times last year. Okay. And the year before was 3 out of 4.
Okay.
Greek Freak's not going to beat you with a 3.
It's really since Chris Middleton sunk them.
Yes.
Which
led to Justice Winslow.
It did. Who's now the star of the Miami Heat. Their point
Couldn't
guard.
You say this is a Bucks revenge game, though?
Nah. Nah, they're too cocky.
They're going to take the Heat lightly.
Yeah, there's no revenge when you're atop the East.
And the Heat always play up to the good teams. It's the bad teams you got to worry about. This is one of the best teams in the league.
I mean, okay.
Don't be shook, boys.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm all in. I'm all in tonight.
You're a Celtics fan.
I don't know. I am not. I don't know what you're talking about. We have a lot of football movement, if you will. Let's see. Looks like, whatchamacallit? Mike McCoy is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive coordinator. Are you happy about that?
Yeah, good luck.
Jim Bob Cooter is going to maybe be the Arizona Cardinals offensive coordinator.
Hilarious name.
Best name in football.
Your boy, Tobin Nate Hackett, going to the Packers to coordinate Rodgers.
Hackett got a bad rap, man.
Rizzi.
That dude was stuck. He was stuck with a time bomb.
Rizzi has like 5 teams that want him. The Dolphins aren't preventing him from interviewing now.
Here, my question is once you interview for the head coaching job of the team you're on and you don't get that job, can you go back to that team?
No, I would say
not. Right, because that's what happened to Greg Williams. And I said that beforehand, that if you're a Browns fan, you want that defense is what kept you in a lot of games while everybody was growing offensively.
Meanwhile,
and Greg Williams was the guy that headed that. Now he didn't get the head coaching job. He's gone.
We're watching the transfer portal in college football. Tate Martell having a great time here, down here with his old boy, Brevin Jordan, and everybody else.
Did you run into him at the airport?
Did not
Brevin
go to the
Jordan's
airport.
Brevin Jordan's a bit of a recruiter, huh?
Oh.
This dude does work.
This Brevin Jordan does work. Yep. So Tate Martell's having a blast down here, staying over on Key Biscayne. Got a bit, nice hotel suite.
It'd be so awesome if the Canes were as good at quarterbacks as they are at tight ends. So good at tight ends.
Be great if they were as good at quarterback as they are putting these quarterbacks up in suites in Key Biscayne.
They did fire their tight ends coach despite all the success.
I know.
A
lot of people wanted him back, but oh well. Anywho, also in the transfer portal, we're waiting on Jalen Hurts' decision. And Brandon Wimbush, the quarterback from Notre Dame, is going to UCF as a grad transfer.
Let me ask you a question. Let's think of this from Jalen Hurts' perspective.
Yes.
You just saw Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At Oklahoma.
Yep.
Maryland. I'd be shocked if he goes to Maryland.
Well, don't forget it, Mike Locksley is there.
I don't care who's there.
Maryland.
It's Maryland.
Fear the turtle.
Okay. And, well, but here's the kicker.
Yep.
It's like kids going to Oregon. You know who has the back, who backs Maryland?
Yep.
Under Armour.
Correct.
Yep. And Miami. Now I'll make you Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
What do you think the best opportunity for you to be successful is?
Miami.
No way.
I mean, like, they've been Oklahoma's been a factory.
Right.
Yeah, no, they've it's okay. It's Oklahoma.
The one thing I'd say though, he's not quite the style of quarterback those last two guys were.
Okay.
You gotta go where you know
for
sure you're gonna
play. Understand from a player's perspective, you see a guy and the last few guys having success at your position, you don't care whether it fits your style.
Yeah, but what if he goes to Oklahoma and there's no assurances there. There's nothing.
Right.
But he comes to Miami and Dan Enos is like, "You're my boy. Come on.
Okay.
Let's do this." Oh,
I get that. I'm just asking the question.
On paper, I know where you're coming from, but there's a lot of mitigating circumstances that could change anything.
Yeah, but
in any
for football's sake, like it's not close right now.
No, totally agree. 1,000%.
But you gotta go. You have 1 year left. You gotta go for sure. Where you know you're gonna play. You're not gonna transfer somewhere and sit on the bench.
That's
where Maryland comes into play.
That's where Miami comes into play.
He's for sure gonna play if he comes here. Come on.
Really?
Doing everything they can to make sure that these guys don't play who are already here. Jalen Williams, please stay. Don't go to
First
Kentucky.
Off, if Nikosi Perry decided right now to transfer,
they'd give him a plane ticket, a limo to the airport.
They'd pack the bags.
All right. Well,
party.
Well, he could.
They said Malik Rozier was never going to be quarterback.
Right. They had no choice.
Well, no. You can. You know whose fault is that? I've said
first two to beat FSU in how many years?
Okay.
7.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Right now.
You're a results guy.
Right now, if you were the head coach of Miami,
mm-hmm.
You think you can move forward when N'Kosi Perry is quarterback?
No, not this year. But I would like to see him cook a little bit. Like, there's clearly maturity there.
Oh, he's cooking.
No, there's clearly the maturity. Put
him in culinary school.
Okay, at least you admit he probably shouldn't be playing quarterback right now.
No, but I don't.
Johnson and Wales on the team?
I wouldn't. I mean, for a guy who, I mean, he clearly has some physical talent, you just give up on that?
No, I'm the first one to say, look, the new coach needs to come in. Manny needs to go talk to those three guys and say, look, you have a clean slate. What you do from here on is on you. But if you're going to play quarterback here, here is what's required of you. And if you don't do it, you're not going to play, and put it in their court. And then at the end of the day, if they're not the quarterback, they know why, and everybody else will know why, because they didn't do what was required of them to be the quarterback of the University of Miami.
We're late. Never mind. I was going to ask you what the deal is with MMA and ESPN, because the ESPN is blowing out MMA in the front page.
Yeah, they got a card this weekend.
ESPN takes over the rights this weekend of UFC.
And they're literally like, they have like an instructional, what moves do you need to know for MMA? And it's like a click through, and there's like,
we're fine. Hey, listen, ESPN, we're fine.
No,
you guys paid $1 billion+ for a reason. People know the rules and they watch
it. They have the top five strikes, the top five kicks, the top five chokes, and the top five joint locks, all ready to go.
Can we do a experimental video with you?
No, that's against company protocol.
No, it's not.
As long as we do it outside company grounds, we're good.
Wow, we've never done anything.
We're having
like that.
A couple backwards. Of guys from Titan FC coming tomorrow.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
What?
Yeah. So we can ask them.
What? What's happening?
Some dudes from Titan FC. They're like the UFC's minor league, basically.
Right.
All the guys who are cooking for the UFC, they go there.
Yep.
And they fight over in Fort Lauderdale. So they're coming in tomorrow. And so we could ask them top five strikes, and we could have them practice on somebody.
The head kick?
Yeah, the head kick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got to have like a lineup, some videos.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
This is good.
Also, their last card they put in Kazakhstan, which is scary.
But probably really... like, you are obsessed with that.
So, do we have to get our fingers ready?
For what?
Dump buttons.
What are you talking about, man? All class.
Uh-huh.
All class.
Mm-hmm.
Every person you've said that about has dropped some type of bomb.
You sure you don't want to tape this?
Cormier!
You want to tape
Sweet
this?
Sweet little innocent Cormier!
That was not my fault. That was the Minnesota Miracle's fault.
You want to tape this at 12:30, maybe?
Nah. Already scheduled. Sorry. Back after this.
What it's like to be the bad coach, to be the sad coach with crazy eyes. And no one knows what it's like to be hated and frustrated as the dolphins cry. But I'm on this stage tripping. Furster gave me back cocaine. I am seeing an imaginary taco. I'm a quarterback guru running a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Rock on, boys.
You've done your share of parody songs. I would just say that while that was creative and funny, your singing in that song was not your best.
Nah, I thought it was
especially
spot on.
When you whipped out an Irish accent somewhere. I don't know what happened.
Look, man, I whipped that together in about 10 minutes.
The taco thing.
the taco meme is hilarious. Did you see that, Leroy? What? Is it going to come out that he's got, like, you
probably
know, like, something
well,
that we don't
didn't,
know about?
Didn't one of the New York radio hosts ask him about the eye? Like, actually, that was a question.
It's
that
Michael Kay.
You got that, Robbie? It's in
you,
our
you,
folder.
You have the Michael Kay?
He was on Michael Kay's show, and he asked him about becoming an internet meme, which, look, I have...
Did you see the back pages today?
Dude, oh, he got blistered. He got blistered. It was delightful. It was my Christmas. It made up for every football failure this year. Was yesterday in Adam Gase's press conference. Do you have this, Robbie? Michael K. He's getting it right now. Oh, by the way, now on the ticket, it's your chance to win $1,000 every hour from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the $1,000 give and go. It's brought to you by Anna Jar and Levine. Accident attorneys, you can call them at 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. But yeah, man, it was crazy. Like, they were like, it was like bug-eyed Gase, fish failure, go, you know, embarrass himself at Prescott. Everybody's like freaking out up
Vision
in New York.
Vision quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just, he became the sensation all of a sudden. It's wild.
I mean,
he couldn't even sit still. Can you put your mic on?
He couldn't even sit still.
I know. What was this?
And I was listening to Perkins yesterday with Curtis and Perk on the way home yesterday. Right. And I love Perk. But, like, he's like, oh, we never saw any signs of this when he was with the Dolphins. And it's like, okay, maybe not to that nature, but, like, we called him beady-eyed coach from, like, day one.
He's always had the beady eyes. The thing that was weird was, like, the rolling in the back. Like, he looked – it looked like there was some genuine anxiety going on there. Like, it was two things. He's either tripping billies or he's got, like, some kind of tick that we don't know about.
I'm telling you that it's not uncommon that football coaches are so used to being in this little group, this little room amongst these group of men,
mm-hmm.
that when they get put out there in the front, it's very uncomfortable.
Well, I'm sure there was lights and there was all sorts of things.
If I'm in a small group of people, I will shake everybody's hand. Hi, how you doing? Have a conversation.
Yeah,
get to know
very,
you, whatever.
Yeah, no doubt.
But in a mass crowd of people, I'm very uncomfortable. Like, extreme.
Yeah.
So, like, you put at the podium and there's 100 people in front
it's
of
just
you.
It's just different.
That's not your bag.
Unless I know half of them.
It's just different level
and
of media up there.
I can get through it.
Right.
I'm not going to be chasing tacos or nothing. But, yeah, like, Riptide, that never happened.
It's so great going on stage.
Never.
Just gotta go cheap pop.
Never.
You just
happen.
Drink a ton.
Never.
And you get up on stage.
Yeah. Look, and if you're Adam Gase, this is what the move is. You go, I'm the Jets fans. We got it here today.
It's all media.
Hey, who wants themselves a quarterback guru? That's me. Gonna make Donald an all pro. Good night. Boom. Own the room.
Maybe do a J-E-T-S.
Yep, get Fireman Ed out there, whatever it takes.
That would have been the move.
Mentioned Namath.
Oh!
Oh, you'd be like,
Kenny O'Brien? Mentioned Kenny O'Brien?
He's like, listen, I haven't seen charisma
who
in
was
a quarterback
their tight end?
Like this.
Who was the, who was the famous, there was a couple of,
Corbett?
No, back in the 80s, famous Jets. I'm gonna have to go look. Go ahead. Keep going.
So, like, yeah, that's not my thing.
Drama Boozer.
But it is. I did. One of the real concerns I did have with him going there, even though he really had no other choice, is we could clearly tell.
Throw out a Gastineau.
Right. We could clearly tell media, not his favorite thing in the world, right? Like, confrontational.
No.
Doesn't like when things go
poorly
for him.
Here's the thing is, again, this is where Perk, and we'll ask Beasley when he comes on, all of the South Florida media guys will tell you press conference, not his thing. Behind the scenes, like sit downs, like one on ones with the media, great.
Yeah, okay, that's great. But that's not what that was yesterday, was it? Press conference, not his thing. Doesn't like it. Gets very confrontational. Doesn't like when his ways are questioned. And this is going to be ramped up. It's nothing against this market. All the people who cover this team do a really, really good job and do a very good job of covering the team. It's 2 reporters per paper, 3 for the Miami Herald. It's just a different level. It's just more. And if you don't like it and it's ramped up, plus with more reporters comes more stupid, and that's going to put you in a next level of uncomfortable. It's not his thing, man.
He's got one reporter on his side.
Oh, yeah, Manish Mehta. That dude's in the bag for him.
Altoon. Should have mentioned Altoon.
Loves him. You got Michael K from yesterday? This was him on the Michael K show. Michael K was asked him, he had him fresh off his press conference where he just became a viral sensation.
So when you walked out on the press conference, the thing that struck me was how intense your eye is. Your eyes are intense. Yeah. I mean, I'd be afraid of you if I walked up to you on the street.
Oh, you wouldn't.
But people on Twitter, I mean, your eyes are the thing now. It's become a meme how intense
you
are.
I don't know what
that is. Has it? Well, come on.
I don't.
It's like everybody use all this. If anybody is like really want to be intense about something, they'll tweet a picture of that.
Show them. I'm sure you have ones that have been sent to you already.
Don't do that.
All right. So,
no, I won't do that.
So all right, I'll just let you know. I don't have Twitter.
You don't
have Instagram.
You'll never will be.
I don't look at the internet.
Okay.
I don't really watch TV. I watch movies.
Okay.
And favorite movie?
That's it. Oh. To be honest, probably Field of Dreams. That, okay. Like, if I just go back to one, probably the one that I've seen 5,000 times.
Do you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No.
Yeah. Well, listen, I disagree.
He's not American.
Disagree with that. Don't really see. Didn't see Adam Gase as a crier. He gets in his feelings with Field of Dreams, huh?
I was watching that with my kid last night.
What are you looking at me like that for? You don't cry at Field of Dreams?
Oh, my God.
What?
When the doc...
Moonlight Graham?
Well, Moonlight Graham.
Only one. Two sports movies probably got me a little bit.
We know. Brian Song.
Brian Song.
Rudy.
And Remember the Titans.
Rudy.
You can't cry during Rudy.
I cry like a
Let
baby
me explain
when Rudy makes a sack.
Rudy's
As soon as they put Rudy in Notre Dame, I've never seen Rudy.
Okay, listen.
Never seen
Rudy. Listen
movie
to me. Rudy. Listen to me. When Rudy makes a sack and his dad
That's real.
Puts his arm up, I am bawling.
That's real.
Doesn't matter if it's real. It's a movie.
I cried yesterday at the end of Rocky IV.
Oh, that was on yesterday.
Yeah, it was on cable. It's
and I told,
so good.
I told Zach, let's watch this, even though he refuses to see
I would imagine the things you tear up about are going to be so different.
He ended the Cold War.
If you wees can use can get along...
Best part of that speech was he goes, I looked around here, I saw a lot of people upset, and I don't know, I guess I didn't like that too as much. I was like, what? Yeah, of course you didn't. You're in a hostile territory. You had KGB following you everywhere.
Fake Gorbachev is clapping.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald, he's covered Adam Gase for a long time. Plus, he broke the Brian Flores story, and it seems like that staff's getting put together, so we'll find out where things are actually with the Dolphins
hiring. I
want to
ask him about Gase. As a media-friendly guy.
And he may or may not be wearing pants.
He may be sans pants.
Yeah.
30-footer out front for Barrett. Back rim, no. High in the air. Down to the Orange. And you can keep your jacket on tonight. The Orange have knocked off number one in Cameron in overtime. It's the Cuse 95 and Duke 91.
What a great win by Syracuse. Maybe one of the greatest wins in the series. This is crazy because they won a national championship, but one of the greatest wins that I've seen Syracuse have, especially after Saturday's debacle.
Listed by some as 17-point underdogs, the Orange win in overtime against a Duke team that has rolled just about everybody that has played.
I don't know who's doing color on that broadcast, but he got caught up in the air. He's like, this is maybe the greatest game. Oh, yeah, there's that national championship.
Oh, yeah.
We're still pretty good. It's still pretty good. It beat Zion.
The Cuse is in the house. Oh, my God.
I wonder if they made mention of Jim Boeheim peeing his pants. Did you guys see this?
No.
Yeah. Well, we got to get to Adam Beasley. Adam Beasley joins us in the Around Fields and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenience. Before we get to Adam Gase and the Dolphins thing, Bees, congratulations on your Orange winning. Did you see that Jim Boeheim peed his pants?
Yeah. You know he's a prostate cancer survivor, right?
Oh, my God. No, I didn't.
Yeah. 10 years ago, he had prostate cancer. It was a pretty big deal. I don't know if you've seen the news. One of the symptoms of prostate cancer in the elderly is incontinence. So way to go, you jerk.
I feel like you'd be better prepared for that then, wouldn't you?
You think you should wear a diaper on the bench?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, they got them all slickly made now. Like, I go into the incontinence section at Publix, they look like they're basically just wearing undies this time.
Well, the thing is, though, you got to worry about fashion because he's on national television. He's a slick dresser now that he's married. And,
question for you. Would you rather be caught wearing a diaper or peeing your pants?
Man, that's a tough one.
With everything
you know what? If there is a time to let yourself just urinate all over your pants just after beating the number one team in the country in their own building.
I do suppose that is a true thing.
I think that would have been funny. He's just like, listen, things just got wild out there. We just beat the crap out of Duke. Whatever. I didn't have time. What of it? I'm a national champion.
It did allow me to see memes from one of my favorite movies, Billy Madison.
You're not
cool unless you pee your pants.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
That is the grossest thing I've ever heard.
So, Bees, yesterday, Adam Gase gets introduced as New York Jets head coach. I guess we'll go with this. What do you think was going on there? Because the answers were all pretty standard Gase, but it was the visual up there. It was kind of weird, man.
Welcome to New York, Adam Gase, right? Well, 3 years ago, he was introduced as the Dolphins head coach, and he was equally as uncomfortable. In fact, I walked away from that press conference thinking, man, this guy's going to be a real pain to work with. He doesn't say anything. He's like fidgety. He doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to interact with us. And I think it was just a matter of him wearing a suit and not having a hat on his head because he does not like that formal setting and does not like the world seeing he's bald.
Adam.
I think it's what it came down to. And he did not want to be there. He did not want to be part of that moment. He wanted the job, obviously, and he's fine interacting with media on his terms, but he was very nervous, and it showed on national television.
Adam, I was telling these guys that, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't understand is these guys are used to being in an environment with a football team. They're not, you know, a lot of assistant coaches never have any interaction or that much interaction with the media. And so that kind of put him outside of his comfort zone. And he just looked very, very, very uncomfortable. And it's not uncommon for coaches, and most of them, we consider as bland or not saying much, and those are usually, you know, the reasons why is that they just feel out of their element.
Yeah, I mean, wearing a suit, sitting next to essentially the owner. I know Woody's the owner, but Christopher Johnson is the owner in practice right now because Woody's, I think, in Europe or something. And having, I mean, that's got to be probably the biggest media contingency he's ever sat before, in front of. I know he had the Super Bowl back with the Broncos, but they weren't all focused on him. He was a bit player in that.
Right.
He was the man yesterday, and it was probably a little overwhelming, and it probably was uncomfortable for him. And now we have great content on the internet. And again, I think that there is a limit to it. I think some of the comments we've seen out there have been a bit unfair. The Daily News had a column that made you drop your jaw.
It was crazy. It was like bug-eyed Gase from Finn's failure. It just makes a mess of press conference. I was like, oh
yeah,
my
it
God.
Was. Wow. I mean, if there's any, we're not.
Mind you, this is the
moment.
Mind you, this is the Jets, and they're like saying, I've seen articles like, one of the worst introductions in Jets, the most uninspired press conference in Jets history.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough go for them if they lose. I mean, if they win, no one's going to forget about this, but it's easy for that to stick. And I know no one on this radio station, particularly on this show, particularly on who I'm on the phone with right now, would have fun with Adam Gase's expense with the visuals of him on the sideline. I know that you guys are above that, but others might take the bait. Others might see it as an easy hit, and you multiply, like, how big is Miami compared to New York? And even nationally, the Jets are just a bigger story than the Dolphins are because they're the Jets, because they play in New York City, and because they're kind of a train wreck. So he's got to win, and he's got to win quick, or things could turn pretty fast for him.
I know we want to talk about the Dolphins, but Bees, real quick, does he have a chance to succeed there?
Sure, they got Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold, you know, everyone loves Baker, and he's a lot of fun, he's exciting and all that. I think Sam Darnold's going to be the better quarterback long term. I think he's got a better skill set, and I think he could be really good. So, yeah, if Gase can get Darnold figure out, and what worried me is kind of some of the things that he said yesterday were repeating mistakes that he had in Miami. And one was, I don't care about the defense. I need a head coach of the defense. And that didn't work here because you delegate to Matt Burke and Vance Joseph before them, and it just didn't work. You got to be the head coach of the 53 men on the team, not just the 25 you coach. And I think that's the kind of stuff that worries me. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to help Sam Darnold a lot. It's the first time Darnold's had real coaching on the professional level, and that's going to be helpful to him. But he has to understand that his job isn't to fix the offense. His job is to fix the Jets.
So last time we had you on, you said you'd put a lot of money on Brian Flores being the guy. And, if you know, basically just because the Patriots are still in the playoffs, he's just not officially the guy yet. Why is he the guy? Why was he the guy they landed on?
Well, a lot of reasons. One, I think, is that he understands the gravity of being the coach of 53 guys. And there's a sense of leadership there. And I'm tired of the word culture. I was tired of it when the Heat used it a million times, tired of it when the Dolphins use it. But there has to be a standard, and I think that's what he's going to set. He's going to set a standard of professionalism of getting the right guys in there. And I think if you see kind of how he's assembling his coaching staff, Caldwell's a pro. Like, he's going to be on that staff. He's a real pro. Some of the other guys you've heard talk about would be real additions to this coaching staff. I think that was one of Gase's failures, is that he went with cronies over high-level assistants at times. And I think that's inspiring to me. But none of this matters if they get the quarterback position wrong, guys. We'll be talking here in 3 years. If they pick the wrong quarterback either this year or next year, it's not going to matter how inspiring and organized and culture-changing Brian Flores is. They're still going to go 6-10.
Adam, you don't find it weird that the whole coaching staff is getting put together and the head coach hasn't been named yet?
It's kind of how it works, Leroy. I mean, you can't wait until, I mean...
No, I understand that, here's my question. Who's hiring these guys?
Oh, Flores is. Okay. Flores is informally. I'm sure he's making the phone calls to guys he wants, and then Chris Greer is making the official offer.
Okay.
I mean, nobody's been hired yet, guys. There hasn't been an actual hire yet. It's all been expected to be and leaning towards and all that. I do think that Dolphins got, I wouldn't say scared, but they're aware of what happened to the Colts last year, where, you know, McDaniel started assembling the staff and they actually made hires. And then before McDaniels could make the job official, he backed out.
Right.
And some of those guys that had uprooted their lives and their families were coaching for a guy then they didn't know in Frank Reich. So I would imagine they're not going to make anything official until Flores is lined up. But, I mean, you look how this thing goes. Most coaching staffs get filled out around the Senior Bowl because that's essentially the coaching combine. That's when guys who need a job go and really start pressing the flesh and trying to work and get a job. So my guess is the Senior Bowl is next week. I'll be out there a week from today. My guess is within the next week and a half, we'll have a pretty clear idea of who their offensive and defensive coordinators are and probably some of their high-level assistants too. And I don't think Brian Flores, age 37, with the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, people have been talking about this. Well, why would top-level coaches want to take this job in Miami? Because it is clearly the least – or one of the least appealing of the eight openings. They don't have a quarterback. Their roster is going to get blown up. But you have to put yourself in his perspective. He's 37 years old. He has never even been a defensive coordinator in the league. And you're about to say, here's $20 million in the keys of the franchise. I don't care what the situation is. You're going to take that job. So that's why I don't think you have to really worry about him backing out. But they're going to be careful just because of what's happened in the past.
Do you think the coach from, I forget his name, from New England regrets taking the Indianapolis job, knowing...
You think he regrets backing out?
Regrets backing out, knowing where they ended up at the end of the year. Because you're not going to get a better team than
this year. He had one interview, I think. It was with the Packers.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know how much of that was because of him or, you know, choices he's made or what, but there are only 32 of these jobs in the world, guys. And the number 32 NFL job, and I'm not saying the Dolphins are that, but they're probably in the bottom five, is still better than most any other job on the planet.
Yeah.
You never know what your opportunity is going to come around again. Maybe he thinks Belichick's going to retire in a year or two, he'll take over, and then it'll be good for him in that position. But life's about maximizing when you have a chance, and he kind of whiffed there.
Man, if you have an opportunity. Think of the jobs that are available to the to guys that are new coaches.
I think too, most of those teams there's less suck. Drama this year. Like remember last year, like all that stuff was going around with Garoppolo and Brady. Like it actually seemed like Belichick might be on the outs, man, with New England. So you're gonna take that position of, oh, I can replace Belichick.
But hasn't he been basically assured he's the coach in waiting?
You want to coach the New England without Brady?
Nope.
Well, I don't think Belichick's going to leave until he's got a real succession plan in place.
I don't think he's going to leave.
He had one.
I don't think he's going to leave until he's a skeleton.
Anywho, Bees, what's the deal with the Dolphins' quarterback situation moving forward, and this whole idea that what they are going to do next year is just wait?
It's really tough, Bees, because they're not going to say it, but they don't want to win this year. I mean, unless they fall in love with Kyler Murray and he's there at 13, they're not going to give up assets to go get a quarterback this year. So if the perfect situation falls them at 13, they take them, that's fine. But my understanding is they want to rebuild their offensive and defensive lines and then really shoot for the 2020 draft when Tua's there and Herbert's there and a bunch of other guys that are probably better than this class are there. But you can't tell that to your players. You still have to try on some level, or you're going to have – it's a tough situation because – I mean, Leroy knows, even if you know you're on a bad team, you want to play for something, or you're just going to go out there. And I mean, these guys are, have any every snap of the game, they have a chance of getting seriously hurt. And so how do you tell these guys, no, we're losing this year, go to try and lose, but don't get hurt at the same time? It just doesn't make sense. So what I think they're going to do, honestly, is tank by personnel, not by scheme, not by coaching. They're just going to strip as much talent as they can, build around a bunch of young guys, and if they'll go 4-12, you know, just organically. They're not going to have to try to do that because of the way their roster is constructed. I do think that they're going to bring a veteran in here because they can't rely on, unless they hit the jackpot in the draft and get Kyler or somebody like that, but they can't go into the season with a Luke Falk and Jake Rudocks and David
Brock
Bale.
Osweiler. Come on, man.
Rock on, baby.
You think they start Osweiler next year?
Yeah.
If you want to tank, if you want to flame this thing up, you go with two people. You go with Brock Osweiler or you trade for Blake Bortles. That gets the job done.
Tua in a year. 2-3 last year.
Tua in a year.
Two and 14,
right?
This is crazy talk.
I know it bothers
this
you, but I'm telling, like,
man, you can't look. I watched the Browns for years, okay, and they tried to patch things up and tried to do things that it just didn't make any sense. Finally, they said, you know what? We're just going to keep the talented players we have, and we're going to build through the draft. We're not going to make any crazy trades or anything like that. If the Dolphins did that, that's fine. Because here's why it's so hard to tank in football. You have to spend a certain amount of money.
Yep.
You have to.
Well, here's the thing, Leroy. You do. But the good news, bad news is that their cap situation's so upside down because they're still paying Ndamukong Suh. They'll have to pay Ryan Tannehill after they cut him. That they really won't have to add that many more players to get to the floor. And the floor isn't just a one-year deal. I think it's an average of 5 years. So 1 year they could be really bad and then spend at the cap the rest of the time. So that's not really a problem because of how they've managed their books.
That's a foregone conclusion, you think, Bayes, that they're gonna cut Ryan Tannehill? Is there any shot they could find a taker for him?
No, because I mean, here's the thing. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, because that's – or the Washington Redskins are a team in desperate need of a quarterback – is Ryan Tannehill the best you can do? Not with, you know, Teddy out there and maybe Nick Foles out there. So there are better options than Ryan Tannehill. And two, you would be taking on a two-year, $35 million contract. Now, granted, after the first year, you can get out with no pain, but are you going to pay Ryan Tannehill, who was awful the last 3 weeks of the season, I mean, absolutely awful, you going to pay him $17, $18 million this year and give up a draft pick?
Yeah.
No. But if you think, hey, the Dolphins have to cut him because they're moving on from him, I can get him for $8 million after we cut him and not give up a draft pick. That's what we'll do. That's what teams are betting on, that Ryan's probably not their number one target, and if they have to settle for Ryan, they'll do it at a much better price.
Thank you, Bees. Appreciate the time, man. Congrats on your win with Syracuse, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Rock on, buddy.
Later, guys.
All right, it's Adam Beasley. Very happy, Adam Beasley.
Hey, Leroy is so yesterday. Not happy right now.
I know he doesn't like tanking, but you know he's explained it. I get it. I get why, and it is tough. But to that point, like you look at this roster, they don't got a whole lot. They don't got a whole lot of building blocks either.
Here's what I'll tell you that the Dolphins need to do, and this is truly from a football standpoint. In order for your team to get better, you need to cut dead weight. Okay,
but they don't want to get better.
You need.
Well, they will
not now.
Eventually,
you have. But you have to have. It's kind of one of those things. You have to have cap room next year.
Correct.
The following year.
Right.
Okay. There's two ways you can go about that. You can play these guys and hope for the best, knowing that at the end of the year, you're going to clean house and have a clean slate. Well, and you're going to have a lot of money. Or you can just cut them now and then get some young talent. And then you got a new young coach with some new young talent and then go that route. But here's the thing about sports, man. If you bring a lot of these young guys, which we've seen all over the NFL, undrafted guy, fifth rounder, fourth rounder, third rounder. Oh,
no,
this guy
no
was.
No guarantee you'll be bad.
It's no guarantee you're going to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, well, maybe they'll stumble. I mean, maybe, ironically, when they try and do this, they'll actually stumble into stars because they don't have any stars right now.
Right. And how often does that happen? It's happened a lot.
Just not with this franchise.
Because they've always, in the last few years, they've gone and paid a boatload of money for that guy, for that game changer. And they need to start doing things more organically.
Mm-hmm.
That means you draft the guys.
Trading Xavier
develop
Howard.
Guys. You don't stop trading for guys. Stop it.
Stop getting the second round pick for a quarterback or Brandon Marshall or Mike Wallace.
If you're gonna draft a quarterback, and I believe this, don't draft somebody that's gonna require work. Okay?
No Daniel Jones.
The second round guy that may or may not work. There's been quarterbacks have been great. Hall of Famers that have been drafted in the second round.
One of the six.
But this team needs a quarterback. So don't invest a pick on a guy that's going to need work.
A project.
The project. Exactly. Just go and wait for your guy in the first round and pick a whole bunch of other guys that can help your team and develop with your team and grow with your team. And then when you get that quarterback you like, plug him. And then go from there.
We'll give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up in a few minutes. We're back right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.